and welcome to episode 205 of Board Game Blitz, a podcast about all things board games that you can listen to in less time than it takes to figure out who done it. Board Game Blitz is sponsored by Gray Fox Games. This week, we're talking about Jubentia. Join us as we talk about our experience playing in a Jubentia game for the first time and interview our game host. And now, here are your hosts,
Amby
and Crystal. We are mixing things up for today's episode. You guys know we tend to stick to our format pretty much all the time, most of the time, but we're throwing things up in the air. We're doing it a little differently. A few episodes ago, we mentioned the new gaming, well, it's not new, the coming to the Western world new gaming phenomenon of Jubentia. It is a craze, a humongous craze in China and in the eastern part of the world. It has really taken hold and become a big thing, and the Western world is kind of just learning about it. And while Amby and I were at Dice Tower West, we had the opportunity to play in a prototype of an English language Jubentia.
Mm-hmm. So this is like, it's not a translated Jubentia from China. It's a new one made for Western audiences. And it was also made, we'll mention the People Makes Games video again, because that's where we learned about Jubentia. So if you watched that, you should watch that. That will help you know what we're talking about as well. But like in that, they mentioned that like the Jubentia usually lasts a long time. Like how many hours? A lot.
they tend to say 4 or 5 hours, is what like they tend to be.
Uh-huh. So this one was made for a convention setting, 2 hours maximum. And it was. So yeah, like with that and also less reading, because in the People Make Game video, they talk about like how they have like maybe an hour of reading beforehand or something to get to know your character. This one just had one page or like a open up little pamphlet that you read. And so it's like a kind of like a beginner Jubentia.
It felt like that, right? Mm-hmm. Like it felt like a nice way to ease a Western player group into the idea of Jubentia. And just to give you all a little bit of more background, the word Jubentia that we are saying is the English pronunciation of a Chinese word that is loosely translated as scripted homicide. Mm-hmm. So just as an FYI, we will be discussing themes revolving around death and murder in this podcast. Obviously very abstracted, nothing specific or gory in any way, and I don't believe there were any other sensitive topics that came up, so that's really the only warning there. But yeah, the craze of Jubentia, there was a game that was released in France back in 2001, I think is what they said, called Death Wears White. I might have the year wrong.
It's on Board Game
2011,
Geek.
Maybe.
On Board Game Geek, it says 2001, but I think like it was translated maybe in 2011 or something.
Oh, that's where my brain is doing the thing. Yeah. I bet you're right. So it was a French game that got translated into Mandarin and for whatever reason just really took hold. Mm-hmm. And China's gamers really loved it. And that is kind of where the craze of Jubentia started, is from this one French board game. Or I don't know what Death Wears White was categorized as originally. I don't know if it was categorized as a board game specifically, but
it's on my want to playlist on Board Game Geek now, though.
Nice. But yeah, most of Jubentias do involve a murder that needs to be solved, but not all of them do, apparently. Ours did. And often in those scenarios, one of the player characters is the culprit who committed the murder, and they may know that they are or they may not. And so what we're about to play for you is us sitting in a hotel room at Dice Tower West immediately after playing our first 2-hour Jubentia. It is myself, Amby, my partner Dan, and then Amy, who was our game host. And we will have, she'll introduce herself in the audio there, and we'll give all the details when we get there. But we will see you back after past Crystal and Amby and friends give all the deets.
Yeah, and it was recorded in a hotel room, so apologies for the lesser quality audio.
Yeah.
So we are here to talk about our very first Jubensha experience, and we are joined by Dan, my partner, and Amy, who was our very gracious host, who is one of the writers of the Jubensha that we just played. So Amy, thank you so much for joining us, and Dan, thank you so much for joining us.
Cheers.
So we just kind of wanted to do a little like decompression, kind of just talk about the experience. And I think first off, Amy, if you kind of want to give people a little bit of information about who you are and how you came to be creating Jubenshas in the Western world, where Jubensha really isn't a thing quite yet.
Okay. Hi, I'm Amy Fox, she, they. I live in Vancouver, Canada. I get to work with Ren Handman, and together we have written so much stuff. We made a sitcom back in 2016 called The Switch, which was the first scripted series with multiple transgender lead actors. We got to make audio plays that went to China. We got to make like over 150 produced ads at this point, and funny PSAs and like movie script editing and all kinds of stuff. And Ren is like the super pro writer, and at one point, some people that she was involved with the CryptoKitties project, which is like cats meets crypto right at the beginning of like the NFT boom, came back with this idea to take this cultural phenomenon in China called Jubensha and bring it over here. Ages and ages ago, and by ages and ages ago, I mean like within the lifespan of pretty much everyone who's going to be listening to this podcast. But so maybe back in, I don't know, 2008, 2010, there was this French game called Death Wears White about a murder in a hospital. And you're all playing different people at the hospital, and everyone's got secrets, and everyone's trying to find each other's secrets. And that got translated and brought over to China, and people were like, this is the coolest. How can we make this so much better? And so there's this avalanche of escape room meets tabletop role-playing game meets board game meets LARP meets murder mystery meets high drama that people go, and they go to these cafes where there's a professional host who will walk a group through, often a group of total strangers, through a story for the evening. And some of them are murder mysteries. That's like your default one. There's almost always a murder. And sometimes one of the players is a murderer, figuratively speaking, possibly sometimes literally speaking. And sometimes you're working together to solve a murder, but they also have like romance ones and strategy ones and ghost stories and all kinds of other stuff. We're over in Vancouver that has a large population that has moved from mainland China. And so people start up these little Jubensha shops, and we're going, okay, this is cool. I wonder if we can move this into like mall culture in Edmonton, because there's snow outside for 6 months and people need something to do, not just an escape room. So we went and played these things 3 weeks ago, and knowing that Dice Tower Con is going to be running, and we had 3 weeks to put this thing together. So it's called Conspiracy to Commit. And you're people who are guests at a conspiracy theorists convention where there is a murder, and you must solve it.
Yes.
That was a long explanation.
No, that was perfect. Yeah, so Dan, Amby, and I were three of the five characters mm-hmm. attending the conspiracy theory convention. We were all given booklets at the start that mm-hmm. had information about our characters, both stuff that we could discuss freely. Well, technically, we could discuss whatever we wanted, but stuff that we were encouraged to talk yeah. about, and things that we were maybe encouraged to keep hidden throughout the course of the game.
Yeah, we had goals. Like, we wanted to keep something secret, and we had some, like, points and scoring. Like, you want to keep this secret. You don't want anyone to know mm-hmm. this. It's, like, bolded. Keep this secret. I was like, oh, okay. And then we also had some information on some other characters that we could use against them. Like, about possible secrets that they had. And so, yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah, Amy played both our host and the FBI agent who was mm-hmm. kind of facilitating the investigation within the
making
story.
Making
us investigate the, yeah, like,
the lazy FBI agent.
Okay, lazy, yes. Yeah. Insane, incompetent
you, FBI you did, you kicked it in a door with your Tai Bo skills.
That's
so
right, and then sprained my ankle.
Yeah, no, she was an amazing lazy FBI agent, and so, Dan, what are your initial thoughts on your very first Jubensha experience?
Well, I mean, for starters, we need to point out that I won, so that is established. I actually really enjoyed it. As a 5-6.
Wait, Toby said he got 7, right?
No, he had, because he didn't get those points, so he only got 5.
No,
but he did, because he just wanted to point away from him for the murderer.
Yeah, we're still looking at me.
One person had the goal of someone needs to go down for this murder, and as long as it's not me, because people are going to think I did it, but I don't think I did.
Yeah.
Well, as a longtime RPGer and somebody who has done LARP in the past and who has done social deduction games like Among Us that you find on, you know, online, this was right up my alley. I really enjoyed this. I had a lot of fun. It definitely helped that I knew most everyone that was there. It helps with the interactions, but I can definitely see how this could be easy for a group of people that don't know each other to get together and within 10 minutes, well, I know your character and that's all that matters. So it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
And you, when I first proposed the idea of playing a Jubensha to you and I kind of showed you a little bit of a video online that was talking about it, you did not originally seem keen on the idea.
I did not. No, you're right.
So I'm really happy that you enjoyed yourself.
Yes, I had fun. I enjoyed it.
Ambi, what are your thoughts?
For me, I think we mentioned Jubensha a few episodes ago. So when we mentioned that, I said I wasn't sure. Yeah, because we had seen the Shut Up and Sit Down video.
Well, gosh, it was twins from Shut Up and Sit Down.
We saw the People Make Games video. Channel. Yeah. About it. And so, yeah, we mentioned it. And then I was saying that I wasn't sure if I would like Jubensha that much because I'm just not as into RPGs and things. But I think when I was thinking that, it was because I wouldn't be comfortable doing it with strangers, I think. And so I knew everyone here, except for Amy. But yeah, so I think that was like the best setting for me to try one is with people that I know. Because like also with escape rooms and stuff, I want to do it with people I know because I feel more comfortable with people that I know. And yeah,
I never
want to
do an escape room with strangers. That honestly sounds awful.
Yeah.
But you do one by yourself.
I would do one by myself.
I know you.
Yeah, but I had fun. And we also recorded a video, which may or may not eventually be on YouTube.
It needs to get on YouTube.
Well, eventually, parts of it you'll see on YouTube. But at the end, we were talking about what we thought of it. And I thought it was like a murder mystery, one of those take-home murder mystery games, but like what you want that to be.
What you always dreamed that should be.
Yeah, because it felt like more, we were able to get into character more. We had like goals and I was a salesperson, which is like a character I like doing, like, you know, the game, but wait, there's more. It felt like like playing that game because like my goals are like, oh, I gotta sell stuff. And so that was fun getting into character and having these cards that kind of guided you. And then like the blurb, we didn't have to read. So if you've seen like the People's Makes Games video about it, there was mention about in the Chinese Jubensha, there's lots of reading, like an hour of reading beforehand. We did not have that. So this is, I think it was somewhere like a more American audience. Yeah. Yeah. It was like a mix between Jubensha and escape room RPG murder mystery thing. So yeah, it was great because we only had 2 hours too.
Yeah. It was
it was a short one, which was nice.
Yeah. The whole experience took 2 hours.
It didn't feel like it either.
It flew by.
Including the debrief.
Yes.
Well, yeah. We talked because we went fast.
Yeah. We did go fast. Honestly. And
we all jumped into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that helped that we knew each other. That
probably.
Yes. Probably, yeah.
But I liked, so Amy, when we first started out, kind of helped like with a little bit of an icebreaker with us in character, and that helped us. It like started off slow for like the first 15 seconds, and then we all kind of started talking as if we were genuinely these attendees at this conspiracy theory conference, and we started leaning in pretty quick. And I would say I'm somebody who likes role playing, so it felt easy to role play this, where there are some role playing situations that are harder to get into, but the information you're given up front, even in this one, which was a shorter one than some of the longer Jubenchas, it felt easy to slide into your character.
Well, it also helped that personality fit you to a T.
I didn't know that when I picked it, but
I think the goals helped with sliding into character for me.
Yes.
Because, like, that's what, when at the beginning when people were talking, and then I just like, okay, but I have these beds that you might be interested in. Like,
it's like an actor. Like, what's my motivation? What's my motive? This, that gave it, pointed everything out to you. You didn't have to pretend you knew what your plan was and what you needed to do. It didn't tell you who you were as much as it just opened a door that you could step through. It's like, this is what I'm going to do and this is how I'm going to get there.
Right. Whereas in like a traditional, like long-term RPG, you may have like character backstory and potential long-term goals, but often like the group may have a short-term goal, but you personally generally, I would say, often don't in a lot of big RPG campaigns, where in this one we all had short, yeah. like quick personal goals that we needed to accomplish, and then some more long-term over the course of the game goals that we wanted to do. And sometimes that was getting a thing done or preventing a thing from happening. And the difference between those two things was interesting as well, because you weren't just trying to do things, you were trying to prevent other people from doing things as well. Mm-hmm. So, Amy, what experiences have you had with the other groups that you've playtested this Jubensha with?
Yeah, well, different groups tend to pick up on slightly different things. Sometimes someone is just going to, like, crush the mystery. Sometimes the group is going to crush one particular mystery. Sometimes people immediately collaborate on the puzzles. Sometimes when there's a logic puzzle, everyone's like, here's all my clues on the table. This group was super like, no, these clues are mine. These are mine, and I don't feel like talking about them. Thank you. And I'm sitting there from the design perspective. It's interesting to watch all these different play styles, because you have to listen. You have to listen to that. And if you don't, then you're going to have a game that like two people at the table freaking hate.
And you don't want one person running it and that's it. Nobody else is doing that.
No, that's no fun. It's no fun. So it's really cool to see this huge variety of play styles. So like this group, people are having fun. There's enough space for people to get up and move around, so that changes the dynamic. People were definitely commenting on like, you could structure it like this in the middle of the game. And I was like, awesome. I hope this is okay for this podcast, because I really appreciate the feedback. Lots of good feedback at the end. People really kept their secrets to them. So like everyone was super gregarious, but then it was like, what's everyone else's secrets?
We're tight-lipped there.
Nothing.
Yeah, we were strangely polite conspiracy theorists.
And what else do you have? It's like, no, I used my blackmail. I said if I blackmailed them, it wouldn't come out. And I'm like, oh, well, that's a strong sense of integrity from someone engaged in the crime of extortion. Okay, cool.
I wonder if that, like, because you're trying to prevent stuff about yourself being, and you're trying to leverage information you have on someone else. I wonder if in your all's future iterations of the game, if there could be a different kind of in-game benefit to revealing in the information that you could theoretically also leverage against somebody.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what, it wouldn't be the same, it wouldn't be points versus points probably, but like, I don't know what that would look like necessarily,
that's good, but an equal but opposite reward, something else.
Something, well, because like when I had information about animal magnetism, everyone had a screen name, by the way.
I already forgot mine. I kept forgetting my own name. Panacea. Yeah, Panacea. I was a vendor. I was just selling stuff.
Yep, totally. That was it.
I think part of the problem there is that I introduced the leverage in a particular way. And I think if I just leverage it as in, well, you could use it to extort something from somebody, or you could offer it up as a juicy tidbit to somebody else in exchange for something.
Okay, yeah.
Suddenly.
But to do that, you'd have to find the right buyer. So that's going to take some conversation with
you. Yeah. But I ended up doing that natively with some of the other pieces of information I picked up. I didn't do it with that one piece of information I was given at the beginning, because I was told to leverage it specifically. Mm-hmm. So I was very much like, oh, I need to go to this person and use their information to get something out of them specifically. But other pieces of information, if I had information about, I don't think I did about Ambie's character, but like I could go to one of the other characters and be like, I know something about her, and I will give it to you if you give me something too.
Yeah, see, so. I went straight for the jugular. I went to Togus. I know you're Shigemi.
I tried that. I wasn't really sure like what to do about the leverage. I was confused about it, I think, so, which is why I didn't understand the point thing for that. But yeah, because I went to you and because I had the leverage, but then like you didn't have anything, and so, I was like, what?
When you came to me about the leverage, I didn't know if it was you had cards that we had found or if you had the given information.
Yeah, so but I think I had both. So because I found a card and also had given information.
And I bought that card.
Yeah, you got the card for me, and then I'm like, so I'm like, is that using the leverage? The
that's why you were accused. You were protecting that info so hard.
But if you guys don't have it, the FBI agent should be looking for proof. You guys didn't have any. I had the proof.
But then, so then I was just like telling everyone about it, and I'm like, wait, what's that? I'm not sure how I'm supposed to use it.
So for those of you listening, we, throughout the course of the game, we explored different locations in the convention center that we were all located in, and we were given physical pieces of evidence on sheets of paper, basically.
A receipt or, you know, a hospital bill, something like
that. Yeah, things like that.
These were all cards that say what's on it.
Yeah, they have information about them.
And it said it was either a means, a motive, a clue, or an item.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And some of those items had monetary value that we could trade, and like there were things we could purchase with that.
The inflatable beds.
Yeah.
You mean the awesome?
Yeah.
Wait, what do they do? They grant you immunity. Immortal beds. Yeah.
So Amy, how much, I know you all literally just designed this game 3 weeks ago.
Started three weeks ago.
So how much has it changed just in 3 weeks? Has it?
Not as much as I thought. Ren and I had already run Murder Mystery or played Murder Mystery things. We played so many LARPs. We started with 6 characters. We knocked it down to 5.
Was that for time constraints?
I think it was table size constraints or something. I can't remember what it was. Mm. But we, it really feels like a lot of fine tuning. It's nice to have someone who's done, like, we've played so much LARP over the years. It's been pretty smooth. Like, it's not like one of those projects where you have to, like, pick everything up, uproot it, and throw it out.
You can just kind of tweak things as you go.
Yeah.
Well, I can say for playing it, it doesn't feel like it's a game that was just made 3 weeks ago.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No, that's very true.
Well, we got to work with a really good team, so...
That's amazing. Cool. So what are the future plans for this specific Juventia?
Oh, well, this specific game was trying to test the waters. It was like, if we go to a board game convention, everyone's hungry for this stuff. That's great news. Whereas we come here and most people have never heard of Juventia. So now what? My plan emotionally is to like polish up the art, put clues in the art, that kind of stuff, file off the rough pieces, and then find some way to make sure that people can play it. In terms of the larger, like, what's the plan? I don't know, but I'm looking forward to finding out.
Awesome. I mean, I would love to see a board game publisher hop onto this trend that isn't a trend here yet. That would be absolutely fabulous. So board game publishers, I know some of you listen to this. Contact Amy. Publish a Juventia, please.
If you can contact a Big Head Club.
Big Head Club. That's who you should contact.
They're my boss.
Awesome. So, Dan, any final thoughts from you about...
If you make this, I'll buy it.
Cool. Thank you.
What about you, Ambie? Anything else?
I liked... I think also having, like, the host master. What's it called? Game master person? The host? Helps. Yeah. Because I think you mentioned something about, like, people sharing all the logic puzzles or whatever versus groups doing different things and then, like, one person not having a good time or something. But, like, having the host helps a lot with that. Well, I guess that happens in RPGs too, right?
There's
a
DM. Not participating.
But like there's like a game master who helps with that.
But I liked that Amy did it in character.
Yeah.
As the FBI agent, she would kind of break into what we were doing if we had kind of hit like a little bit of a stall at some, she would kind of chime in with a little bit of a thing to push us forward, and that worked out really well, and it didn't break the immersion of the game.
Good. I'm glad that worked. That was the first time we tried that today.
Okay.
That really helped. It didn't push the game so much as it just greased the way, made it easier.
Nudged us, right?
Ooh, good.
Yeah.
Glad to hear that.
So yeah, y'all keep an eye on our YouTube channel. We will be posting at least part of our Juventia session. We recorded video of the entire thing. We will almost certainly not be posting it in its entirety, but
it'll take some time to edit.
Yeah, it's good. It was 2 hours is still a lot. So, but keep an eye. Make sure you're subscribed to our YouTube channel. And Amy and Dan, thank you so much for joining us.
Sure.
Thanks for having us here.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for coming back to the future with us. So, that was our initial impressions of our first Juventia session.
Mm-hmm. And now it is almost exactly 1 week after we played, I think.
Yeah, it is. It is 1 week later. It weirdly feels like longer than that somehow. I don't know. Time is a mystery. But yeah, it has been a week as of the date of this recording since we played in that Juventia game. So we've had a little bit more time to, I guess, think about it, process. Mm-hmm. So Ambie, what are, I guess, your updated thoughts or has anything else come to mind for you? Or is there anything else that you want to discuss about the experience?
I think as I thought about it more, there were more things that I was like a little bit dissatisfied with, but I still liked it overall. But there like some things with the scoring, I already mentioned before that I didn't like the scoring that much. And I think part of that was because, you know, Dan said he won, but he was the one that we all said, like we pointed to as the murderer. So he went to jail, but then he got a lot of points, which didn't really really make sense thematically to me.
Yeah. And we did, obviously, you heard in the audio that this was a prototype that had literally been created from scratch 3 weeks before we played it. So all of our criticisms are heavily veiled with the knowledge that we... For being 3 weeks old, this was a phenomenal experience, but it obviously, you know, could use a little bit of work potentially. And the scoring system was something that we discussed with both our host and the person who invited us to play in the game as well. Immediately post-game, before we recorded this interview, we discussed with them that the scoring system seemed a bit odd. Mm-hmm. It was nice in some ways because it did push us toward certain objectives, but then to me, at least for me, it brought me out of my character to worry about scoring.
Yeah. And then parts of it, like, it felt like it might have incentivized weird things for the scoring, like, which is, bringing you out of character. But then, for the character, I think as I was thinking about it more, I realized, like, because there isn't that much text compared to, like, what I imagine an actual Chinese jubensha would be, like, I didn't know. It was hard for me to understand everything. I was confused a lot. So sometimes it would be hard to get into character because I didn't know all the information. Like, at one time Toby came to me and said, like, oh, I found this, your item of this, and I'm like, I don't know what that is, because I didn't know like what it was. And so I didn't know how to respond to that, because I'm like, wait, what did you find? Like, can you explain what that is? And he's like, yeah, this is yours and it has this. I'm like, oh, okay. I actually, it makes me want to play one with more reading, and just like, I don't have time for, that's the problem though, I don't have time for a longer one, but I do want to play one where it has like a whole backstory, and like maybe I would read it the day before or something and be able to play. But it was cool because it gave me a taste of what the genre is like, I think. Because after watching the People Makes Games video, I was unsure about jubensha. I think my big thing was that a lot of the culture is like meeting new people, and I don't want to meet new people.
He's like, I'm fine with the people I already know. I don't need to meet anybody else.
And with this one, we got to play with people I already know, and it was kind of like a primer to see if I liked the concept, and I did. And so like, I want to play a jubensha with people that I know and not strangers, I think. So I do like it, and I do want to play more, but time and just not with strangers.
I think I would be more willing to play with strangers. I mean, obviously that reads based on your nice personality types. Like, I enjoyed playing it with people that I knew, but I think I also would enjoy playing it with strangers. You know, the right strangers, obviously. Like, it matters. But, and I actually, like, literally the night that Dan and I came home after the jubensha, we were laying in bed and I was like, I think I want to write a jubensha. Like, I was spinning ideas around in my head. I mean, I am a writer. So like, writing something like this feels within my scope of knowledge, but obviously game design is a little bit outside of my normal scope. The concept is, it's both familiar and unfamiliar, which I think is why it intrigues me so much, because it's not completely foreign, but it kind of feels like you're taking the same playground equipment that you're familiar with, but you're putting it in a completely different playground, right? Like, maybe this playground has zero gravity instead of your normal playground in the park or whatever. I don't know. That's a weird analogy, but like, taking things you're familiar with and putting them somewhere else and then doing different things with them. I don't know. I really liked the experience a lot. Mm-hmm. This particular jubensha, I think they could definitely make some tweaks to. And they seemed to be grateful for our feedback, that we didn't just say like, yay, that was great. Like, we actually provided some actionable feedback to them. Mm-hmm. They seemed to appreciate that. I hope that they know that we very much loved the experience. And I would play another jubensha in a heartbeat, basically. Like, with, you know, if the timing was right and the ability to do it was presented to me, I absolutely would want to do it again. I would say that if you are a person who enjoys, really, like, just the easiest point of comparison, I would think, if you enjoy, well, again, this jubensha is slightly different than the Chinese one, so it's kind of hard to know how all jubenchas would go, but I would say if you like escape room style board games and one-shot RPGs, if you like both of those things, I would say you can pretty much, like, you're going to enjoy a Jubensha, most likely, would be my guess. Those two things combined, I think, will get you most of the way there, even though those two things combined is not the entirety of what a Jubensha is.
I think it's still more like, if you like the idea of a murder mystery dinner party.
But, like, a good one. Like,
yeah,
not
like, that's why I said the idea ones, of... Yeah. If you like the idea of one where you want to like get into character and figure out who the murderer is, that type of thing, but like slightly more gamified and more character-y.
Yeah. Because we were given background information about like what we knew and what we didn't know and what mm-hmm. we needed to protect and what we wanted to try and get out of other people. But I would have enjoyed even just like a few more bullet points about my character's personality. Like we were given just a kind of, we could pick from one thing or another, mm-hmm. but like even just like for me, like my character was more of like an upbeat, positive person. Like I am, I picked it intentionally, but like maybe my person doesn't like to reveal secrets. And so, you know, like has to be asked at least like 3 times about a thing before they'll even give it up or something. Like, I don't know, little things like that I feel could help build character even in this short time frame thing where you don't have mm-hmm. all that time to read the backstory and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if you all would like to learn more, you can go to whiterabbitjubensha.com. And if you all have any additional questions or you want more information, we can also reach out directly to the people that we had this session with, and we would be happy to, you know, pass along if you guys have questions or if you want to find out more about what they're working on. You know, we'd be happy to pass that message along. I think they're really excited to potentially bring Jubensha to the Western audience. They live mm-hmm. up in Canada. I know we have some Canadian listeners, so yeah, they're in Vancouver, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think that was
all of them are, or one of them?
I'm not certain, but I think most of them were from there. Okay. So, of course, they were lovely because, you know, mm-hmm. Canadians.
And that's it for this week's Board Game Blitz. Visit our website, boardgameblitz.com, for more content and links. This episode was sponsored by Grey Fox Games. Late pledges for the second printing of Last Light are still available, so it's not too late to get your copy of the epic 4X game that plays in an hour or less. And if you want to buy some other cool games at greyfoxgames.com, you can get 20% off non-exclusive items by using the code BGBLITZ24 at checkout. Join the Blitzketeer community on Discord for game nights, discussions, and more by following the link in the show notes. Support the show by leaving us a rating and review on your podcast provider. And if you like us a lot and want to support us monetarily and get some cool perks, check out our Ko-fi at ko-fi.com/boardgameblitz today. Our theme song was composed by Andrew Morrow. Until next time, it's murder in a game box. But the crime sets up the groove. Hey. Bye, everyone.
Bye. You're joined by, oh my God, I literally just forgot your name. You just, Amy.
Amy Fox.
my brain is glitching.
Yeah, my memory's bad.
Uh-huh.